Look and see what John 15:2. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. Wow. Are you and me branches? We are branches. And if we're branches of the kingdom and we don't produce fruit, what happens? What did he say he does to us?
Cuts you off.
Oh my gosh, you know, God would never kill you. You know, he's a loving, sweet God. He would never. We've got to be misunderstanding that. That's kind of scary. You know that? When I read that, I thought, God, you killed him. He said, yes, son. He said, I give him 10 years to start producing fruit again. I said, Lord, he was a Sunday school teacher. He was a youth leader. He was a great man of God. He said, oh, yeah. But he said, the last 10 years, he's produced no fruit. So he said, I don't need him. If he's not going to produce fruit, I cut his tree down. I don't need him. I said, Lord, it wasn't his fault. It was that woman. It's always the woman's fault, right? You know what the Lord told me? He said, son, I didn't put the woman in charge of the home. I put the man in charge of the home, and he did not do what I told him to do. So he's the one that got cut off. That's scary. And you know, everything he told me is scriptural. The man is the head of the house. And God holds us as men accountable to love our wives, take care of our children, and do all those things. And if we don't do that, it's going to bring devastation into our families and sickness and disease to us. In fact, God even goes a little further. He says, if you don't love your wife like I love the church, I won't answer your prayer. Isn't that something? You better love that girl like I love the church. If you don't, he said, you can pray all you want to. I ain't going to hear your prayer. I ain't going to answer it. Why do you think so many men in church don't get their prayers answered? They don't love their wife like Christ loved the church. That's exactly right. But he cuts off every branch that doesn't bear fruit. Okay, let's go back over there to verse 5. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. Now, I stayed with it when I asked God for wisdom in this case about why this man died. If I had been like I used to be, a normal Christian, I would have asked one time, and when he didn't talk to me, I would have quit asking. But now I know God wants to talk to me. I don't know why it takes longer to get through on some things than it does other things, but I know he wants to answer my question. I know he really loves me, and he wants to answer my question. And I may not understand at this time what's going on, but I did know he said, ask and believe you have received. And so every time I ask and praise him and thank him for the answer, I would wait a few minutes, and if I didn't hear anything, I'd start knocking again. But let me tell you, God ain't never busy with somebody else. Just like you're the only human being on the earth all the time. I know he's everywhere. He knows everything that's going on. But when you ask, be sure that you really expect him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7 and 8. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. They can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. That's like me. I don't care what happens to me. When I tore my hand up here last year, some of you know about that, some of you don't. My hand was tore all to pieces. It probably needed a minimum of 200 stitches in my hand. I got it hung up in a rolling door spring. It tore my hand all to pieces. What do you think I immediately did? Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. I praise the Lord and thank you. I said, Lord, I don't know what I did that causes this, but I praise you and thank you for one more opportunity to prove that you're the King. I said, now, Lord, thank you that you bore my pain so I don't have to bear no pain. And the pain just went away just like that. No pain. So I wrapped it up in a rag, come over here, and Cheryl showed it to her. And when she undone it, she looked and said, wow, did you tear up your hand? And I said, well, put some stuff on it and wash it out and clean it up, put some Band-Aids on it, and I'm going back to work on them doors. And so that's what we did. No stitches, no nothing. She bandaged all my hand, all my fingers, put it together every night. In 1 week, these bottom three fingers were completely healed. And in about 2 or 2.5 weeks, the top finger was completely healed. And you can virtually not even tell where I tore that hand all to pieces. Just think, it from right here to the end, it tore all the meat off that plum to the bone. And tore all them fingers up. I mean, just tore them all to pieces.
Right,
yeah, that little scar right there was there from 30 years ago. That was an old one. That's been, I didn't have no faith. In fact, 40 years ago, I was working on a 1959 Chevrolet Impala and a Chevrolet dealership of that little scar. And I drilled out the hole and a little burr stuck up there. And I went to rake off the loose stuff. and I hung it on that burr, and it ripped it from right there to right there. And guess what? I ran to the doctor, and the doctor put 6 stitches in it, and today I still got a scar on that one. That's the only scar you could find on my head. When I was 19 years old, I didn't have a clue how to pray. Although I'd been in church all my life, didn't know nothing. But when I tore this hand all to pieces, I knew how to pray. I had learned how to pray and how to stand on God's promises. Now, this is when you find out what you're made out of. Are you a man of faith or a woman of faith? Or are you, I hate to say this, are you a wimp? I'll tell you, I used to be a wimp. I was a wimp most of my life. Just like the other night, that whenever I give Cheryl that little spanking on her backside and told her to get up, I grabbed her and I said, get up, woman, get up. And I thought to myself, how many 73 or 4-year-old men with a 65-year-old wife that she fell like that and busted herself up like that, how many of them would not know how to do anything except call 911? Is that most of us? But see, we're supposed to be beyond that. We're supposed to be children of the kingdom. God clearly said we can do the same things He did when He was here. Did He not say that? If Jesus said we can do the same things He did, then why don't we learn to pray in faith? I mean, is what I'm telling you today written in God's Word?
Yes.
So He says there, they can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. You know, when most people come up and they repent of their sins and are prayed for, they're like Ida. I'm going to give you the story of Ida. Ida still comes and volunteers and helps us sometimes a day or two a week, or when we do the tape of the month. She's just a lovely lady. Her and her husband, Ferris, they're a lovely couple, but they never heard this kind of teaching. They go to a normal, traditional church that don't teach healing. So when Ida was diagnosed with breast cancer, if there was ever a time you start looking for a healing ministry, it's when you got breast cancer. So she'd heard about us, so they came to see us. And I told her, I said, which breast is in? She said, the left. I said, okay, you have unforgiveness toward a female member of your family. And she did. Now, isn't that amazing how we've learned these things? And it had brought breast cancer upon her left breast. So I told her, I said, you forgive your sister, get back in a love walk with her. I will break the curse over you, kick this thing out, and Jesus will heal you. I guarantee it. Now, when I do something, do I have to do it in faith?
Yes.
Okay, so if I say I'm going to pray for you and we hope He's going to do this,
no.
There's no faith in that?
No.
So that don't work, does it?
No.
That don't work at all. So if I have to believe with no doubt in my heart, it only leaves me one alternative when I pray for you, and that's guarantee you're healed, right? I mean, I got to pray in faith. And I said, okay, it's done. Now you don't need to go to the doctor no more. We've done exactly what God's Word said do. He says, are you trying to tell me that she's healed? I said, well, sir, I'm telling you what God says. In other words, let me show you one of those scriptures. Let me take you to James 5, 14, 15, and 16. And let me show you at James 5 what God says. Now, look at this. It says, are any among you sick? Okay, now who does that include in the church? Is that all of us?
Yes.
Well, I think so. That's the way I interpret that anyway. Are any among you sick? It don't take a rocket science just to figure out that's all of us. They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I'm an elder in the church. Some of you are old enough to be elders in the church. And anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith doesn't sound too complex. That doesn't seem hard at all, huh? Well, Jesus didn't make our part very hard. And He says, and their prayer offered in faith. So when you pray for somebody, this is the attitude you need to get into. I prayed for you. I guarantee your answer is there. Is that faith?
Yes.
At least from your point of view, you've done your part, right? Now, if that other person still got a sin in their life, they're not willing to repent, that's their problem. Don't let us have a compound problem here with two of us in unbelief. You got a sin in your life? She had a sin in her life, but she repented. I prayed for her in faith. Now, what does it say? And their prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. Did it say maybe?
No.
It says it will, and the Lord will make them well, and anyone who has committed sins, they will be forgiven. I don't know about you, but I love that promise. That come from God. That's right straight out of the book. That's a guarantee from God to heal us if we pray in faith, right? If we repent of our sins and everything. So anyway, I said, the Word says it's done. And he said, Thurman, we've been in church all of our life. I have never heard anything like this. I have her scheduled for surgery on Thursday, so I'm going to take her and have the surgery done. Well, now, who's the head of the house?
He is.
Yeah, that's it. He is. And of course, I can understand his logic when he said, I love this woman with all my heart. She's my wife, and I'm not going to lose her, so I'm going to take her and have the surgery done. So I said, well, I can't override you. You're the spiritual head of the house. So they take her to the doctor. They cut into her left breast. And when they cut into it, they realize that those knots and everything that were in there ain't there. She's healed, so since they already got her cut open, they do some biopsies and come back and say, we don't understand, but there's no cancer. We checked it a couple of weeks ago. It's there, but now it ain't there. So something happened. It went away. Why do you think it went away? Who prayed? We did. That's right. We prayed the prayer of faith for that woman, and God honored our prayer of faith, didn't he? And he took away the tumors and he healed her. Now then, they sew her back up. And a couple weeks later, they're out here sitting right there. And I noticed both of them crying. So I walk over right here and I said, what's wrong with you two? And Ferris, he said, Thurman, we are so sorry that we didn't believe the promises of God. He said, I had never seen anything like this in my life. I never heard any teaching like this, but I saw it was in the book, but I couldn't believe it because I'd never seen it done before. So he said, I took my wife down, they cut her open and found out that she was healed. There was no cancer, no tumors, no nothing. She's completely healed. And so said they sewed her back up. And now then that they've sewed her up, it's drew on all the tissue so she can't raise her arm but about this high. It won't go no further because it stretches the skin and it hurts. And I said, you know, I believe that God fully understands y'all's situation. Both of you got tears of repentance, telling the Lord how sorry you are that you didn't believe him. I said, so now then I'm going to pray for you in faith, and I'm going to guarantee he's going to heal that arm right now in the name of Jesus. I just reached over and laid my hand on that shoulder, that left shoulder. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, fix her breast and let the tissue be normal and let her be able to raise her arm straight up in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord. It's done. I said, now raise your arm up. He said, right now? I said, yes, right now. I mean, show some faith. And so she starts up gently and the arm just went whoosh, right all up, straight on up just like that. And everybody was here, wanted to jump it up and down and praising God. She was completely healed.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Don't Give Up Until God Gives Your Answer, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.